Thanks, Tim, and thanks everyone for your warm welcome. Always great to come down here, beginning of a new year, and fire ourselves up with the Word of God. It's great theme you've got this year, choices. And it's awesome to see all the young people here. Good choice coming tonight. It's what it's about, isn't it? So tonight we're going to be thinking about choices. And just thinking about my thought process as I sort of got my head around it, this is where we're sort of going to go tonight. And as always, you are a really talkative group, and I'm going to look for lots of feedback and discussion as we work through these ideas. First one is, what is choice? It's interesting to think about choice, what it is, and the power of choice. Why are our choices so important? We want to just contemplate very shortly the fact that God has chosen us, because that's a powerful, powerful thought in its own self about us choosing Him. Just a couple of examples of pivotal choices in the Scripture. So start thinking now about maybe some events or incidences or people that have really impacted you in terms of the choices they made. We'll just spend a little bit of time on that. Then we'll think about what informs or shapes or drives our decision-making, our choices, both good and bad. That's really interesting to think about, and we can learn a lot when we sort of drill down into that a bit. And we'll think about what is the power that helps us choose God's way. That's a really interesting sort of thought as well. What helps us make good and right choices? And then just briefly, the pathway to good choices. Just think, and we'll use some, hopefully some collective wisdom there about how we come to good choices. So let's begin. What is a choice? I'll just put that out there. What's choice? What is a choice? What's the definition of choice? You have options.
Decision.
Yep.
Like food choice and peanut butter. You might like Kraft, or you might like another brand.
Yeah.
So you have those options in front of you.
What would that be called? Still a choice, isn't it? So choosing to do nothing is still choosing, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. It's called often procrastination, isn't it? Choice, so yes. And that's a good word to throw in. A choice is there's freedom to make a choice. So there's freedom to choose. Decision.
Usually you weigh up the sides as well, so you can make the judgment or determination of one or the other, and then you so it's like a balance sort of.
Yeah.
You weigh up scenarios, you choose one or the other.
You do, and especially if you're wise, often we don't weigh it up too quickly sometimes. What's other synonyms for the word choice? We've already had some ones like options, decisions,
selection,
options, oh yeah, options, yeah.
Way.
Way, yeah.
Pathways.
Pathway. Yep. Did someone say, what if you're given no choice?
Yeah, no choice. Like if you're a slave or something like a prisoner, you don't have a choice. So you're not given an option there. So what's that? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, sometimes you're not given a choice. And we'll touch on that, because that's a very powerful thing. It's a very powerful to think about. Well, I'll put it out there now. What is the last human choice that we can make?
Choosing God.
choosing God,
life,
peace. There's a great quote from Viktor Frankl. Remember who Viktor Frankl is? He was a Holocaust victim. So he was a Jewish man, and he was put in the concentration camps, and he survived. He not only survived, but he thrived. Like, he grew through all those terrible experiences where he saw thousands of people die around him, and he had no choices, did he? He could not choose what he wore, what he ate, where he went. All those choices were taken away from him, but he said, yes, the last human freedom is the freedom to choose our attitude, to choose the way we think, you know. So when Jesus...
Mandela was the same too, if you read his...
Absolutely. All those great people, Jesus Christ on the cross, everything taken away from him, but he still had the freedom to choose how he thought, his attitude. And that's pretty profound, isn't it? Like, it's a pretty amazing thing. And we'll sort of get there to the power of being able to choose the way we think. Exactly. So coming, we've digressed. Well, that's loud. We've digressed a little bit, but choosing is an act of choosing between two or more possibilities, which we saw today in the reading, Exodus 15. We'll come back to Exodus 15 because it's a tremendous reading, isn't it? I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. Choose life. Like he goes on to say. Some common synonyms of choice you've already come up with: alternative, election, option, preference, selection. While all these words mean the act or opportunity of choosing or the thing chosen, choice suggests the opportunity or privilege of choosing freely, which you came up with as well, that idea of the freedom to choose. Choices are our decision, and that necessitates free will. Now, free will always amazes me. It freaks me out that God has given us so much freedom to make choices. You know, if I was God, I would have said, look, I'm not going to give them too much choice, otherwise they're going to cause too much mayhem. I'm going to really restrict it down so that, you know, it's like being a hover parent. You're not going to, won't let them do that, won't let them do that, and keep them on a fairly tight rein and narrow lead. But God, in his immense wisdom, has given us the ability to choose in a wide and broad sense, which is amazing. And that, I think, is why it pleases him so much when we choose him. Okay, so we've sort of defined this idea of choice and the idea of free will. Why are our choices so important?
They affect our future.
There's consequences. So I'll just try and follow one train of thought at a time, but they affect our future. It defines what might happen down the track. There's consequences for our choices, which are part of that thought.
Choices can impact other people.
Choices have effects on other people. The things that we decide will have ramifications for those around us, consequences.
Our choices reflect who we are. Yes. They demonstrate who we are. Yes. Our choices are important to God. He's given us the ability to know right and wrong and to know the difference and to choose. Yep. These are all good things. Anything else? What's so important about the choices we make? We learn by making decisions and choices and understanding, yeah, the impact and the consequences of those. Yep. Yeah. That's all good. So I'm just going to say that what I've sort of thought about a bit while doing these studies is that our choices are so important because they actually make us the person we are. Like, they actually define us. They actually change us as we make choices. Now, let's read some of these things out. All of us know that there is something within us, behind our emotions, behind our wishes, an independent self that, after all, decides everything. And we'll say that in the Bible, that's called our will. The ability that God has put in us to make decisions. God has put deep inside us. You know, we all know this from our experience, don't we? We know what we feel, we know our emotions, but we've got the ability to be able to make a choice. Though in a day choices are often small, counted one at a time, their cumulative effects are more powerful than we can imagine. In reality, these private choices direct our steps, determine our behavior, change the quality of our relationships, and in the end, shape our lives. So we can start to see the power of the choices and the decisions that we make on a day by day, minute by minute in our life. Our choices shape our habits and make us who we are. That's interesting, isn't it? Feel free to pitch in any time if you're thinking this is resonating or you want to add something. This is a well-known Christian writer, John C. Maxwell. Life is a matter of choices, and every choice you make makes you. So we're saying that the ability that God has given us to make decisions and choices are the way that he will work with our will to transform us and change us in our lives. We talked about this earlier, but I think this shows you the power of our God-given ability to choose, to still choose God. I think someone said to choose God, to choose God's attitude, to choose out the way we think, that ability to rationally think in our mind and to choose God. This is C.S. Lewis, another well-known Christian writer. Every time you make a choice, you are turning the central part of you, the part of you that chooses, into something a little different than it was before. And taking your life as a whole with all your innumerable choices, all your life long, you are slowly turning this central thing into a heavenly creature or a hellish creature. Now, we know the biblical language around that, and he was a Christian, is the inner man. We listen to our inner man. We know the spirit. We know the flesh. We know the will of God. We know our will. And as we choose God's will, and as we continue to try and do that, we're changing because of the choices that we are making. It's pretty powerful, isn't it? Like, it's powerful when you think, and you know, we observe brothers and sisters who've really lived like Jesus, and we see the choices they make day in and day out, and we know this is God's way. So the Hebrew word timshel, which is thou mayest, it's often, God often uses it in the Old Testament. He says, thou mayest do this. Well, you don't have to do it. So it's that free will that gives a choice. It might be the most important word in the world that says the way is open. That throws it right back on us. For if thou mayest, it's also true that thou mayest not. So this idea then again of the freedom to choose. And we'll see that because we have freedom to choose, that brings responsibility. The last bit says responsibility is a word which is two words, response and ability. So between a stimulus, like I'm going to punch you or do something, between that stimulus and your response, you've got the ability to make a decision, to choose, to act. And that's what responsibility is. It's our ability to be able to respond in a way which is God's way. You know, sometimes when we make bad choices or when things are sort of out of our control, we say that we didn't really have a choice. You know, you might have heard that, I had no choice. You know, like this person was really bad, and you know, they were doing all these things to me, and I had no choice but to do this or act this way or whatever. But that's relieving ourselves of the responsibility to still respond in the way that Jesus wants us to respond. Correct. Great example. Yeah. Bad choice. Or even, you know, go back to Adam and Eve in the garden. Wasn't my fault. Like, that person, that thing, that circumstance made me do this. But at the end of the day, that's when we have when we've got freedom to choose, when we can make choices, God always shoots it back to us. And we have to take responsibility for our choices. Ralph.
You mentioned Victor Frankl earlier, not to be a great example, but still being able to make choices. Are there ever any situations where there is no choice?
Good question.
What you're saying at the moment is that we always have a choice.
Well, there's lots of health issues or age and limit your ability to choose, but
still try to make a stop there.
Yeah, you have, but you can't say I'd like to go for a nice long walk this morning in a wheelchair. Would be good, you'd have to go with your will, as it were. So, I think the trouble with society these days, without getting too deep, is we give the impression that you can do anything you want, and that's not real. You know, it doesn't happen, but even though there's lots of different things people can do these days.
I don't think there's ever a time when you cannot choose God. That's where you always have a choice.
choose God's answer for me is the best, whether I like it or not, it's accepting God's will, which is what Jesus did.
Mm.
And that's the journey, isn't it?
Mm.
I don't like this, but I'm going
to. Mm. There may be some, like when a person gets dementia or is not in their right mind, where they don't have the ability to, what we would say, to make a choice. But God knows that. In my mind, that's where God takes over, you know. For example, if I'm a faithful person and all of a sudden my mind starts going on me, God's not going to hold that against me. If I've been faithful and if I've tried while I've had rational thought, that's why Solomon says, when you're young, seek the Lord, because you don't know when you might not be in a position to choose. I'm not sure if that's helpful, Ralph. That's true, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Mm.
But we often feel as humans, don't we, that life isn't going the way we want it to.
Mm.
Where's my choice in this life?
Yes.
If you're subordinate in a situation, say for example, if you're an employee, you can't choose to do anything
you like. Exactly. Yeah.
I don't know whether that's in the same sort of sphere as this conversation, is it? At the judgment seat, we can't say to God, well, no, I should be in the kingdom, my choice is to be in the kingdom if we don't deserve to be. We can't say to a judge, I choose not to go to jail.
Yeah.
We're subordinate to the decision that's been made. So in life, there's innumerable situations.
Yeah.
You're sitting in front of a lion who's hungry.
Yeah, that's right.
You can.
Good.
Story. Tim and I, we were in Canada and there was a bear. We were by a stream and we'd taken our shoes off and we'd both put our feet in the water.
That's Jake, so
and then I decided to put my shoes on and Tim's going, what are you putting your shoes on for? You're not going to outrun the bear. I said, no, but I just have to choose to outrun you.
That's right. Exactly. Good point. You can't choose how others respond, but you can choose how to respond, can't you? That's the difference. I like that idea of perceived choice. Some people, and particularly young people, really struggle with this idea that, well, if God's chosen you, you've got no choice in it at all. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, free will. But God's chosen you and God knows everything and he's predetermined your destination. And that's not an easy thing to get your head around. But I would just say this, that God loves you, right? He loves you. He's called you. He wants you. And he's inviting you to be part of his family and part of his plan. And he dearly wants you to choose him to fulfill his will for your purpose. And he's allowing you as much freedom as possible to try and wrestle with that and to choose him and to follow him. You know, that's just how I explain it in my own head, because sometimes it's not easy. But you've always got to come back to what God is. God is so good. He is so loving. He wants you and his family so much. It's just like my mum and dad or your mum and dad being so good and wanting everything for you, and all they're just saying is, please, just choose life and choose good. You know? To me, that sort of resonates with me when I sort of think about that. If you get too tripped up on, yeah, but, you know, God knows everything and he's not really giving me a choice, it's sort of like reneging your responsibility to go, well, here's an invitation. I'm wrestling with it because I don't know if it's still a choice or not, you know. I don't know if anyone else has got to add something to that. We do. He does. So just summarize some points here. I think it's really good to become aware and wonder and embrace the idea of our ability to choose. Well, often we sort of, often we are negative about the emotions that come in us when there's a choice. You know, oh, I wish I didn't have to have this fight or battle, but embrace the fact that God has given us the ability to choose, you know, and that's a powerful thing. I think it's important, and many of us who are baptized have made a once for all decision to choose the path that leads to God. We've said, this is what we want to do, and we all come to that point. But when we're at that point, we just have to say, this is the way I'm going. Ask ourselves, are our choices moving us in a positive direction towards God and the Lord Jesus? Understand the power of choice to influence our life. Like, the little choices we make each day are actually changing us, transforming us as we conform to God's will through our choices. And every choice has a consequence, as you've already noted. When we say yes to something, we say no to something else. Okay. And as someone said, we're free to choose, but we can't choose the consequences. We'll talk about what drives our decision making, and that's a big driver. When we're wise, we think, yeah, I can go down that path, but what's going to happen? You know, the next step. So this is just the point about God has chosen us. So the point I just wanted to reiterate here is that God has called and chosen everyone in this room. Okay, so God has called and chosen everyone here. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. And when we try and grasp the idea that God has chosen us and called us for his purpose, it helps me to choose him more often, because he's so committed to me. He's called me, he's chosen me, he wants to be part of me, to be part of his family. And because I already grasp hold of that, it helps me to choose him, to make his will mine. And we know that God chose his people Israel. They were a holy people. God chose them to be a people, not because they were any better than anyone else, but just because in his sovereign will he did choose them. And we are no different. We have been chosen. Let's read that, Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the Father and God of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in him. So this idea of being chosen by God, Paul was big on it. You always ought to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. To this he called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain glory in our Lord Jesus Christ. Those who are with Jesus are chosen and faithful. So God's called us, he's chosen us. When we believe that, we grasp hold of it and go, yes, I believe that. I want to choose God. Just quickly, any pivotal examples of people who made choices in the scripture which have inspired you or you're thinking of right now? David, when he goes and fights Goliath. What a choice, eh? Sons of Korah. Abraham chose to leave and follow God. Yes. Ruth choosing to go back to the land. That's an amazing example, isn't it? Esther. Yeah. Rahab. Yeah. Follow me. Bad choice. Yeah. That's massive, isn't it?
Jesus was tempted in all points and chose to be sinless.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Hannah chose not to retaliate, but through her trials and trust in God.
I suppose Hebrews 11 is a list of people who chose, who made good choices, didn't they? Who obey, who like Abraham, left Isaac. Moses chose rather to be with the people of God than with Egypt. Paul, what's your example with Paul? Saul. Yeah, changed to Paul. Yeah, and I think that's a good point. And I think this is good to remember as a young person or any kind of person, is that God never expects us to make the right choices all the time, because if we did, we would be Jesus Christ, but we don't. We make bad choices, we make foolish choices, and sometimes we have the consequences of those in our life, but that doesn't mean that God does not love us or care for us, or that we can start choosing better, you know? And don't be hung up by sometimes being in a string of bad choices. You know, there's times in my life, as in there would be all of ours, where we've got stuck into a rut of making a bad choice. You know, don't. Yeah. Yeah.
Adam was standing alongside of Eve when she took the fruit, and he could have chosen not to.
Yeah.
He could have chosen to say, I'm going to sacrifice my life for her. Instead, he chose to live. Noah could have chosen not to be a son of God, and then God would have started again. Moses could have done the same. But the best example of how the world is impacted had to be Jesus' choice to die for everyone.
Yeah.
And also Jesus
Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it? Yeah. And to make us with free will. Yeah. Yeah. Reverse his choices. Yeah. 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 They are like Lot's wife. Chose to look back, you know. That's just that's between stimulus and a response. There's God given us the ability to make a choice. And some of these choices have been profound in the moment and potentially for eternity. Like Judas. I believe Judas, if he still had made a different choice, Jesus may well have forgiven him. Or it may have gone a different path, but, you know.
I think the best example of that, what you're saying is that there's always a choice, even after a string of bad choices, to change them. Manasseh.
Yes.
He was the worst king that Judah ever had. He reigned for the longest time out of all the kings of Judah. But God never gave up on him. And at the end of his life, he repented.
Yeah. Yes, great example. Yeah.
So even after all those years,
yeah.
Manasseh could still choose the right path.
Yeah. It's never too late to choose God, to make the right choice. Okay, let's think about what influences our choices. What shapes, what impacts the choices we make, both good and bad? Just think about that now.
Your upbringing.
Your upbringing.
Our values.
Your values, your friends. Excellent. Your upbringing. Upbringing's a really good one because someone said before, you know, imagine being in a really strict environment where as a child you're not allowed to make any choices till you're 16. And if all of a sudden you say, stuff this, I'm going to get a car and go somewhere, do you think that person would be very good at making any kind of choices? Or, yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? So parenting is a balance. it's like walking the fine line, but you can see that it's like God allowing the rope to be out so we can make choices. Our upbringing, values, our friends, who we hang around, the workplace, so like our environment, where we are, personality, so our knowledge about God, what's right and wrong, and the influence of God's word on us,
previous choices.
That's a really good one.
Internal or external stresses.
Yes.
So not enough sleep.
Yep.
Our vision.
Goals and what our goal is, our aspiration.
Capacity.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's a really good one because I like the phrase, I think it was Stephen Covey who said, everything is created twice. That is, you have a vision, you have an idea, and you imagine it, and then your choices lead to it, you know? Without a vision, without a dream, without a goal, we're directionless. Our choices doesn't really matter. Guilt, good one. Emotions, our emotions,
jealousy.
Our feelings, all those things like jealousy.
What we delight in.
Yeah. What makes us feel good? What we delight in. Yeah. Yeah, this is good. So I've just got a few here. One of the things that in the Bible you read a lot about is the fear or the respect driving people's choices. And we mentioned before about Saul had respect to the people and he made a bad choice. But then you read about the midwives who disregarded Pharaoh's decree to kill the young children, and the record says because they feared God and God bless them. That's nuts, isn't it? So the idea of fear is respect, is the presence of how big something is looming in your consciousness. For those midwives, you know, God drove their decision making when the consequences of obedience were catastrophic. Same as Daniel's three friends. The other example which I read recently was Abraham when he went to offer Isaac and he was just about to kill his son. The angel said, "Don't do it. Now I know that you fear me." Like crazy, isn't it? Now I know that you respect, honor, I am the essence of your life. You know, so the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The bigness of God, the essence of God is the beginning of starting to make the right choices. And it's a difficult thing, isn't it? It's just a nefarious thing to find that kind of respect for God. I find it. You know, I'm more driven by what other people think and what other people might say than, to be honest, sometimes what God thinks in certain circumstances. But to have that ability to make God present and real and that of us, and for that to drive our choices is what we need to aspire to, I think. Emotions. There's a good love by there's a good book by The Doors is about marriage counselling, and the title is Choose Love. You know, because love is a feeling, love is a thought, and love is an action. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Feeling, thought, action. Essentially, the Bible says the highest form of love is an action. You can choose it. You can choose to act in a loving way when you don't feel it. When even you don't rationally think it should be done, but you can act loving. Experience, consequences, wisdom, lust, pride, covetousness, self-preservation, our objectives or goals or vision, our environment. Big one, obviously, for young people, peer pressure, the environment that affects our choices. So you've got to hang in the right places with the right people. Drugs and addictions, things that alter our decision-making process. The Proverbs is big on that, isn't it? To keep ourselves in the right mind. Cool. Well, let's keep going. Just want to think about the power that helps us to choose God's will. We've talked about our ability to know between good and evil. God's always given us the ability to choose between good and evil. That's the knowledge of God's will in our heart, which was in the reading that we had today. Like read from verse 11. The choice of life and death. This commandment that I command you today is not too hard for you. neither is it far off. It's not in heaven that you should say, who will go up to heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? But this word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you can do it. So this is Moses teaching about our ability to know God's word, to hear it, goes in our ear and in our heart, and then we can make decisions or choices. God's not asking us to do something which is really difficult, like to go to heaven or go to hell or do something. He says, see, I have set before you today life and death, good and evil, if you obey the commandments of the Lord that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and statutes and his rules. So making the choices. It's interesting, the Apostle Paul quotes this in Romans 10 to say that it's talking about faith. Faith in God's word. So it's not, Paul says, it's not about keeping laws and making decisions just to keep a set of rules, but it's making a decision to have faith in Jesus Christ, to say, I believe in Jesus Christ, and I believe about what he represents, and then that will drive what we do. That drives what our life is like. So this God puts his word to our independent self called our will, where we can make a choice. This is what we call our willpower, you know, our ability to be able to, with our will, to do something. You see some people who have got phenomenal willpower, like any elite athlete or mountain climber or person, they've been able to train their will to overcome, you know, their feelings, their emotional, their pain or whatever. So when Jesus said, not my will but thine be done, what he's saying is, I've got to make a choice, and I'm choosing you, God. I'm choosing you, and I'm handing myself over to your will. And then the power is of God's to work in us, because he wills in us and he works in us to do his good will when we hand ourselves over to him. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, Paul said, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. Put off the old self, which belongs to the former manner of life that is corrupt through deceitful lives, and be renewed, or put on this in the spirit of your minds, to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So this idea of choosing to put off and choosing to put off the negative things, put on the positive things, make choices for the positive things, then we are renewed in the spirit of our minds. And God creates in us a new being through our choices, through our faith. Yes?
That's a quick personal comment on that one. You know, as a young person, you kind of struggle a little bit with the, hey, what is good in this world? You know, I want this, I want to drive a fast car, I want to do these things, choices I'm making, my choices.
Yeah.
My choices. And when you realize that your own choice actually sometimes could lead you to a bad decision-making process, and it actually takes you away from things that are really good, things that my parents can tell me about. In this room, when I see these quotes up there, I think about Jesus in particular, who gave himself that far, but he actually died for us.
Yeah.
And I think, man, how far was I away? Probably how far am I still away from that kind of decision-making willpower state? You think, how did you manage to see the good in the rest of all of us that do that? How can I, in my small little way, make good choices that help others? How can I do that? How can I be so selfless? How can I overcome that kind of natural tendency to do things that I want, that I need. My wife just said it again, and just proves it's a dear wife, to do what others need.
Yeah.
Put others first.
Yeah.
And it's actually, to be honest with you, we're really blessed to have our sisters, because actually, in their state, whether they have children or not, it's a real uncanny thing. They always seem to do those things. Because they seem to have that natural thing.
It is.
And it's a real struggle, actually, I've said, but they were the first men who were saying,
Yeah.
Jesus had no objective but to study all of us. That's really powerful thing about choosing God in this world.
Yeah.
Because God wants only the fruit of the best of us. He wants to give us life.
Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So don't be conformed or molded by the influence and the decisions of going to the world, but be transformed by knowing God's will and doing, making the choices to follow that path. We know, like that 2 Timothy is just still a fantastic quote, isn't it? You know, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, that the person of God is profitable for correction, instruction, wisdom, discipline, training, that we might be fully furnished and mature in God's way. So we're changed by what we believe, what we really affirm, the pattern of our thinking and what we do as we follow God's will. And we're just trying to focus on God's choices. There's other things that change us in terms of like our brothers and sisters, but we're just thinking about like this power of our decision making and our choices. There's a real paradox in this, isn't it? Like God wants us to try our best. There's no doubt about that. God demands 110% of our effort in choosing Him, in serving Him, in following Him. And then God works with our will. He works with our ability and our enthusiasm to do more than we ever think is possible or probable in our lives. I love these quotes out of Psalm. For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. You know, David still had to run out to Goliath. He still had to use all his energy to leap over a wall, but then he found that God gave him springs and he could spring over the wall. You know, he supercharged David's will to do what he wanted God to do. And I think this is the emphasis of this idea of metamorphosis, isn't it? It's change within. It's how God changes us inside, is through our choices. As we make those small little choices, it's like the little chemicals slowly changing and changing who we are as we conform ourselves to God's will through knowing His will and making the choices to conform to His will. Every time we make a choice for God, we are working with God's will, turning our inner self into something different than what it was. And that's God working in us. It's not us, it's God working in us through His power as we turn our will to His. We'll just wind up with these little thoughts, which are you know, to me was when I'm thinking about pathway to godly choices. Praying being in the presence of God is really important. Like whenever we're having a temptation or whenever there's a choice to be made or something which is weighing on our mind, bring God straight into it. He's there, He's real. We're more likely to revere Him, to honor Him, to know that He's there, right there. You know, embrace God's choice. Embrace God's choice in that situation. Go, yeah, I'm with you, God. I want to make your choice. I know your will. Please help me. Define the choice. Sometimes we have to think, you know, what is it right? Is it wrong? What's God's will? Seek God's wisdom, the scripture, the knowledge, collective counsel of our family, our friends, our brothers and our sisters. Hang out with godly people and then trust God with the outcome of your choice, with your obedience. As sometimes, you know, godly choices are sometimes harder choices. But just trust God with it and He'll bring you through it. You know, it's a test. It's a test. You'll write in the readings today or tomorrow about Mara. You know, God takes them out. He brings them out of salvation and He brings them into the wilderness 3 days without water. It's a test. What are they going to choose to do? Bring God into the picture or nah, just see an oasis and charge through it and dip their head in it, it's a bit of water and now they're whinging to Moses, you know? So God testing us and embrace that and wonder at the ability to choose God even when it's difficult.
Sometimes you have to wait.
Yeah. So good, eh?
Like,
yeah, yeah.
We don't know
what
to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is so
hard, eh?
Hard.
Yeah.
Today, you know,
down on. Yeah, yeah.
I remember
to say, you don't want more to
do more.
Yeah. That's so good. Yeah, yeah.
Suggest
you don't want, you ignore. Yeah, good advice, eh?
Stop.
Stop.
Sometimes you don't have the answer.
You don't.
So
you have
the answer,
you're not going to have the answer.
Yeah, that's it.
We have to wait. We're in it at the moment, aren't we?
But Jesus did. You know, He was praying in the garden. It was just terrible. And along came Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's the answer. So, you know, it's not always what we think of you.
Yeah.
I think, too, on that is we have four godly habits. Because, you know, I'm thinking of Daniel, we pray today, always, no matter what.
Yeah.
He was known for that. And I think you have habits. I know they can sometimes perhaps make things, you know, not seem so, like, you're not really making a choice. But the choice is to have that habit.
It is.
Keep it practicing.
Yeah.
Like PG readings, praying, meeting with brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
Those habits that we have.
Totally. I think that's absolutely spot on, you know, because those habits and those choices define who we become. You know, people of God's word, people of prayer, people of fellowship. It's choosing to do that, isn't it? Like, and it's a new year and we can all say, you know what, let's just choose to have good habits and get back into those if we're out of it. And we find that, yeah, we feel better for it. We feel closer to God and to each other. Thanks, Tim. That's all I've got to say. Thanks, everyone, for your input. Awesome as always.